This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
He is a very cool customer. This seemed very much like a handshake between Caleb and the Bears. A lot of the rest of the league was there, of course. In fact, every other team in the league was there. And they were all just sort of kicking rocks on the field because they could look at Caleb, but they know they can't touch him. And they seemed a little sad. They seemed a little disappointed.
Tune in Thursday, 5 to 9 p.m. after the Cubs game for wall-to-wall coverage of round one of the NFL draft. It's the Parkins and Spiegel draft special. They're live in Detroit, including expert analysis from Dave Wanstead and Patrick Manley. I'll be out at Hallis Hall as well. It's going to be the fun. The week has begun. This is it. Anthony Herron.
It's going to be a fun day, fun weekend.
It's a great night.
Yep.
I'm Mark Grody. We are here talking Bears and the NFL draft with you until 9 o'clock tonight. Our very own Lawrence Holmes will join us in 1 hour from now at about 8 o'clock. Lawrence will be here to tell us what he thinks about the Bears. But right now, the guy from whom you just heard coming in, that was the voice of E.J. Snyder of Bootleg Podcast. And he, at that point, was on the clock here on The Score. And he and I were talking about the Caleb Williams pro day and that it just seemed like a formality. And as EJ said, nobody was going to touch him. EJ joins us right now on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. And it is brought to you by CircaLasVegas.com. EJ, I'm assuming that nothing has changed since our last get-together here on The Score in terms of Caleb Williams and that marriage is going to happen with the Bears.
Absolutely. Steady as she goes. That is the one sure thing in this draft, and the fireworks will start after that.
Man, that I hadn't really thought about that. I mean, there probably is precedent like that where you couldn't quite crack the code beyond the number one pick, but it really does feel like, and maybe it's just because there's just so much time in between the point that we are talking about the draft and the draft actually happening, but it is hard to call what happens beyond Caleb Williams. And maybe I start there with you, even if I hadn't intended to. Like, who do you look at as, like, if you're doing a mock draft, who's your number two and number three in this upcoming draft? Obviously to Washington and the Patriots.
Yeah, Washington, I think, is a little bit easier. I might be in the minority there. I think that's Jaden Daniels. There's a lot of smoke that it might not be for one reason or another, but teams are trying to position, and like you said, we're down to brass tacks. Everybody knows that time is short, and deals are getting done right now. People are calling and saying, what would it take if we were going to move up, all that. So you're going to hear, I think Ross Tucker put out something great on Twitter today. He said, guess what? I heard about a team that's willing to move down, might move up, but don't be surprised if they just stay pat and pick, which is pretty much every team at this point. So I think Jaden Daniels goes to Washington. After that, the Patriots, they're saying, of course, they're holding a hard line. It's going to take a monumental offer to move us off this. If they stay, it's going to be really tough for them to take a quarterback. I know they want to, but that team is not in a state to really take advantage of a rookie signal caller's contract, which is one of the greatest advantages in all of professional sports. And they just have too many holes. So I wouldn't be surprised if they traded down despite all the tough talk about we're going to stay. It's going to take a lot to move us. That would probably be the wisest move for New England, but they might be convinced that this is their shot, that their only low draft or high draft pick to be able to go get that quarterback they need. So we'll see, but that's the more intriguing spot. Washington, I think, is Jaden Daniels.
So I like your confidence in the idea that Caleb and Jaden are the top two quarterbacks that come off the board there. In your evaluation, do you see those guys definitively as the top two QB prospects? And is there separation between them and the rest of the pack?
I believe there's separation between the two of them. I do have them as the top two quarterbacks. Caleb is number one. Jaden is number two. I do it in tiers, and they're each in their own tier. And then the third tier starts off with Drake May. I believe he's just a touch below, but you know, those are the first two quarterbacks I have, and it lines up nicely for me if they are the first two quarterbacks off the board. But that's not really how I do my evaluations. I do it, free and clear of who's picking. I just do it by traits. And yeah, those two guys ended up on top.
That's a smart way to go. I like hearing people's philosophies on how they do it. And you are about the traits. So that said, where does that land us with the Bears with the number 9 overall pick? Who do you like the Bears to take, or what position?
Yeah, my dream there is Rome Odunze, just because I believe he's a very good football player. I don't necessarily think another wide receiver is the top need. It's a need for sure for the Bears, but I think they have more pressing needs. But in terms of just, again, pure value of who I am sure is going to be a very good football player for a long time in the NFL, if Rome Odunze is there, it is very difficult for me to pass him up. He is a cornerstone type player. I think he's going to be a star in this league for a long time. And if you were the Bears and came out of this draft with Caleb Williams at 1 and Rome Odunze at 9, like that is a very good start to a draft. The rest of it, you can almost mail in, not really, but you know, it's going to be hard to knock off and say that's not a great draft for Chicago. I don't believe he's going to be there because he is such a good player. And then it gets really interesting. My preference then for the Bears would actually be trade down, because I believe they could use those picks. There's a big gap between 9 and 75. There's a big gap between 75 and 122. It'd be nice to see them fill in those spaces. Yeah. And I think they'll get a similar player.
I don't know if either of you guys, EJ or Mark, have seen the film Dream Scenario, the Nicolas Cage movie that came out a few months ago.
I have not.
My wife and I have had very strong disagreements about Dream Scenario. I liked it, thought it was clever and unique. She thought it was awful, but she's not really into Nicolas Cage that much. But in the world of EJ Snyder, what would be the dream scenario for the Bears? How would you like to see the first round play out? Would you like to see an opportunity for them to trade down and accumulate some additional draft capital from number 9? Or would you like to see a certain player be available to them at 9, even if it's in surprising fashion, that they can get then grab just being in that spot?
Yeah, it's a great question. My dream scenario is Rome Odunze, because I believe very strongly in him. But if he's not there, my next scenario up for the Bears would be, you know, an equitable trade down, because I think there's players available, again, at greater positions of need for the Bears that they can get if they don't go too far down in the first round. Guys like Byron Murphy out of Texas or Johnny Newton. Everybody seems to be forgetting about Johnny Newton out of Illinois. I think he's a tremendous player, and he's going to be available possibly in the late 20s, right? So you've got a safety net at a position you need. Eberflus has said pass rush. He hadn't said edge rusher. He just says pass rush. Both of those players, Murphy and Newton, provide that. So they, you know, if you can trade down, get extra picks, and come away with one of those players in the first round, I'm also a happy guy.
I am pro Johnny Newton, and we have not talked about him enough. So thank you for bringing him up to us. I mean, I think that would be very interesting. I think part two of the reason, and maybe you and I are on the same page as this, because yes, I also think the Bears should take Rome Odunze if he is available. Part of it is for me. And I don't know that I like any of those. The Bears need another pass rusher. I just don't know if Dallas Turner, Jared Verse, Chop Robinson, Laiatu Atu, I don't know if any of those guys, if I was doing the draft, would come off in the top 10. I don't know if they are difference makers down the road. What do you think about the defensive end group?
It's a fantastic group, but I'm with you. 9 is a little bit rich for almost all of them. If the Bears are forced to stick and pick, and that may be the case, Odunze could be off the board at 9 and nobody comes up with a great trade offer because it takes 2 to tango and that might not happen. If that's the case, it becomes a very interesting value proposition for the Bears, because their need is definitely at you know, they need pass rush. Could be DT, could be edge. And I don't think any of the players we've just talked about, all six of them, is a great fit value-wise at nine.
I agree.
With me, I might say Laiatu Latu. He's the best edge in this draft. Apparently, his medicals came back clean. He is easily the most skilled edge in this draft. The question was always about medicals. But he's a funny player in this draft. A lot of people seem to have forgotten about him. He's tremendously skilled, great hand usage, and he's bigger than a lot of people think. He's 260 pounds. A lot of people tend to think he's in the sort of 235, 240 range. He's a big, strong dude that just doesn't stop. And if they're going to prioritize pass rush out of the edge, it might be Latu for me.
Wow. I like hearing that, man. You're right. And I think that it's possible that the reason that we're not talking about him more is an injury thing, because it was a neck injury, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. And I know he has not felt the effects of it. He's played two full seasons,
yeah,
right? And I think he had...
he's been at UCLA, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, two full... But that I mean, I'm grasping at straws. That might be a big part of it still, that people still don't trust the health.
Yeah, it certainly was in the beginning. There was a lot of uncertainty about it. All I've heard over the past couple of weeks is that all teams are comfortable with it in terms of no one has him off the board, i.e. medical red flag, you know, gone. But there are at least, I would say, more than half the teams at this point that are comfortable with his medical situation and are just going to take him on player evaluation. And if that's the case, it's very difficult not to make the argument that he is the top edge in this draft.
Love it.
Jalen Phillips is a player that began his football career in college at UCLA years ago. He actually was sort of the inverse of Latu, where when he was at UCLA, they told him to retire from football. He ends up transferring later to Miami after stepping away from the game a bit, finished his career healthy at Miami, and then ends up, you know, he's in the midst of putting a nice pro career together, although he didn't finish his past season with the Dolphins due to some health issues. But I think for Latu, I like him a lot. His film really shows the full skill, the arsenal you hope for from a, you know, I'll call him a finesse edge rusher. He doesn't play with the same type of pop and explosion that his numbers indicate. Like, he is, to EJ's point, he's bigger than what he seems on film, but he doesn't play with that same size. He's faster in his testing numbers than what kind of shows consistently on film either. But he's a very skilled pass rusher. He's the most skilled edge rusher in this game, and it's really not even that close. But I think that's kind of, in addition to the medical concerns, that's a part of what keeps him outside of the top 10 as well, is that his movement skills and the power, the explosion that he plays with, doesn't pop on film in the same way that his measurables and his testing numbers would maybe indicate that they should. So he doesn't necessarily, he's the most skilled pass rusher. He doesn't necessarily have top 10 film. And I think we're all agreeing that maybe it'd be a bit of a reach in the top 10. One scenario that's kind of been floated here recently, EJ, one of it was by one of our cohorts here at the station, David Haw, about the Bears potentially trading up. If you feel that there is separation amongst these receivers, and if the Bears say, you know what, we got a chance to just move up a little bit and get the very best player in this draft, which many folks agree is Marvin Harrison Jr., do you feel like where the Bears are at right now with a roster that's being bolstered with draft capital that leaves them with only four picks this year, maybe you got to give up a little something in the future to make something like this happen? Do you see a scenario where the Bears maybe trade up?
It's possible. It wouldn't be my move just because, again, of the depth of this wide receiver field, but I really do feel like what you said is true, Ant. The top three receivers in this draft are special. Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, and Rome Odunze, for different reasons. Now, the way I have them ranked, it's Rome, Marvin, and Malik, Rome being number one. So if they strongly believe, we saw the Texans do this last year, right, with C.J. Stroud, and then they went right back up and got Will Anderson. That worked out very well for them. So the precedent is there. It's difficult to look at it for the Bears this year because they only have those four picks, and they are so spaced out. They have a lot of capital in 1 and 9 for sure, but then it drops all the way to 75 and 122. Now, they do have some additional picks in the mid-rounds next year. Maybe they could leverage some of that, but it would be expensive. So it depends on who drops and how far. But look, if Brian Poles is sold that there's a difference maker there that he can go get, and look, that player comes in and is a difference maker, nobody will really care about the draft capital.
Truth. That is absolutely true, and we're kind of counting on that. EJ, since you did say that you were, you know, about the traits when it comes to lining these guys up, I can only assume that you feel that Roma Dunze has better traits than Marvin Harrison Jr. I think that that would surprise a lot of people. Can you kind of make your case and what it is that Roma Dunze does better? Or why do you like Roma Dunze better than Marvin Harrison Jr.?
Yeah, I'm sure it surprises a few people, but let's start off at the top by again saying I think all three of these wide receivers at the top are excellent players, and all three will be successful. And if you look Fair. Back in the past couple of drafts, the first three wide receivers off the board have all been successes. So again, this isn't an unprecedented year. This is a thing that's been going on now for a little while, and I think all three of these guys are extremely talented. So we're really kind of slicing the garlic with a razor blade here. We're talking about thin designations of differences. The reason I like Odunze, wins all over the field, highest contested catch rate among top wide receivers in this draft, you know, wins down the field, was extremely productive. And I think he gets off press just a little bit better than Marvin Harrison Jr. does. Now, Marvin Harrison wins all over the field as well. He struggled with press in a few games. He was still wildly productive. He is still a tall, fast, skilled target. Excellent routes, great hands. So it's not like this is a big knock on Marvin Harrison. But if you're looking for thin distinctions between the top three guys, they're all a little bit different. And I like Odunze's complete game just a hair better than Marvin Harrison Jr. But if you're going to tell me that Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be a Bear come this weekend, I'm not sad about it.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to upset anybody. And I agree with you in arguing about these guys and debating. I think all of them are going to be 1,000-yard receivers in their lifetimes, and I'm sure somebody will pull ahead in the pack, but I don't think anybody is going to get ripped off. EJ, you are 2 for 2 on the score on my watch, my friend. Thank you so much for joining us and giving us some of your insights on the draft, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's going to be a great week. Enjoy the draft, guys.
Yep, we will. EJ Snyder of the Bootleg Podcast, throwing names out there like Johnny Newton from Illinois.
And I like hearing them too. Yeah.
It makes me angry because there have been so many times where I've been driving into the station and I'm hosting and I'm thinking about Johnny Newton.
Okay.
And I'm thinking I want to talk about Johnny Newton, the Illini guy. Like I did some of it when I was at the combine. Yeah. I think I played some of the audio, but I have badly neglected the Illini guy, Johnny Newton, who if the Bears do move down, which if they are going to go defensive player, if that's on their mind, need on defense, they're not going to draft that guy with number 9. I don't think, unless they have a grade on one of those edge rushers that is beyond what I see and what EJ Snyder is seeing. I don't know about you. I mean, do you see any of those guys, the guys that we just ripped through in terms of, you know, Jared Verse, these guys in terms of being a great tight end that is worthy of a top 10 pick? I don't see it at this point.
You ask me for now, you want to take a break, or how do you want to do it?
You know what? We will take the break. Okay. We'll come back. We'll do that.
Yep.
And I've got my mock draft. I've got an 11-year-old.
Oh, I'm going to mock this mock.
Oh, mock
I cannot
mock.
Wait.
You can't mock the 11-year-old's mock draft.
Oh, says who?
I got it. Well, that's true. This is big boy territory. This is big boy territory. Yes.
If he's getting time on these airwaves, then he better be ready. He better be ready for all the slings and arrows.
That's Anthony Heron. I'm Mark Grody. It's our draft preview show.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Go till 9 o'clock on the score.
Well, that would be a reach for me, Mark.
Let's get back to more of the Scores Draft Preview Special with Mark Grody and Anthony Heron, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Sports Station.
It was a very nice way of letting me down.
I thought so. Yeah. I mean, he could have called you doofus, or could have called you stink.
Could have hung up on
something like
me.
That.
Like, come on, man.
Definitely could have hung up on
Who
me.
Am I talking to here?
Exactly. He just let you down easy.
Yeah, he was nice about that. Shooting me down on Brock Bowers as a draft pick in the first round, really. I mean, he seemed down on tight ends. We'll get to my mock draft 2.0 here in just a second. And the great letter I got from an 11-year-old fan of mine. But first of all, where did we leave off? We left off with the defensive ends. It is my opinion and that of our last guest, E.J. Snyder, that it was that none of these defensive ends, as good as they might be, are worthy of a top 10 pick. And when I mention those guys, I mean Dallas Turner, Jared Verse, Chop Robinson, and the guy that he seemed to like the most, which I am intrigued with as well, and that's Laiatu Latu. So my question to you is it 3 for 3? Do you also agree, Big Ant, that there is no edge rusher, quarterback, sacker, defensive end in this draft that is worthy of a top 10 pick?
I'm trying to remember. I've already forgotten. Was it you or EJ that called them all trash? They said they were all hot garbage.
No, none
recall.
Of us said that.
That was not.
No,
was it Mark?
No, okay, no. Right. I never said that.
All right, I've been hitting the head a lot. Memory doesn't always serve me with these things, but okay. Maybe no one said it.
As a matter of fact, Latu, and this I've never mentioned it because it just doesn't rank with people usually.
Okay.
Latu was one of the most enjoyable guys at the draft as well. So I really enjoyed him, and he does have a great story.
Maybe part of that is perspective. You know, he saw the mortality of his football career at a certain point while he was playing college ball. He's gotten this second opportunity the last couple of years at UCLA, has taken full advantage of it, and is going to be one of the top picks in the NFL draft. I do not see him as a surefire top 10 sort of prospect, though. Now, to be fair, I didn't see Leonard Floyd as that. I didn't see Kevin White as that. I didn't see Mitchell Trubisky as that. So it doesn't mean a team won't take Laiatu Latu in the top 10.
Absolutely.
He is a gifted football player.
Somebody may see it a lot differently than any of us talking on the radio. That's
exactly.
For sure.
And I mean, you know, so if he went at 15, which feels value-wise what might make more sense, or 18 or something like that, you know, does it impact how his football career will play out drastically? No. Being picked at 9 instead of 15, either way, you're going to have to show up to the team you're at and play well and take advantage of that opportunity. But just talking value, when I think of a top 10 pick, I think of someone who I expect to come in and play at a high level from jump. You know, like Darnell Wright came in and he belongs. Like, that's a guy who looks like he's going to make multiple Pro Bowls in his career. That's the type of rookie season he put together. And that's you want to see that from a top 10 pick. As you get further and further removed from the top 10, yeah, first rounders, you hope for a guy who certainly looks like they belong, but the further and further you go down the first round, maybe you're not as definitive with someone who's immediately an impact guy, a day one starter.
Right.
But, you know,
it's a matter of we like the player, just can't quite justify it in the top 10.
Now, for me, if you told me the Bears are definitively going to have a chance, if it's just all offensive guys come off the board with the top 8 picks, the Bears aren't moving down, they got a chance to get the top defensive player in the draft, I think the one that suits them best is Jared Verse, because Jared Verse is the most well-rounded, true defensive end in this draft. He can hit blocks in the run. He can miss blocks in the run. He can rush the passer. He can do all these things at a high level, and he's played with his hand in the dirt. He, at all times, pretty much plays with his hand in the dirt. That's different than Dallas Turner. Dallas Turner, I see, as transitioning more readily to a 3-4 outside backer because he spent the majority of his career at Alabama playing in a 2-point stance, rushing the edge more as what we would think of as a traditional outside linebacker type pass rusher, as opposed to having his hand in the dirt in a 3-point stance and occasionally really setting the edge out of a stance, as opposed to being a guy who's sort of flying up the field, you know, almost haphazardly kind of using his athleticism into the backfield to make plays. You know, that's not the Bears' scheme. The Bears' defensive ends will have their hands on the ground. They would be playing into blocks against offensive tackles on first and second down. And then, yeah, they'll be able to widen out, get into a track stance, or even get up into a 2-point stance on occasion to rush on some third and long scenarios. But to me, that's not what Dallas Turner projects to early in his NFL career. So while I think as far as just the potential wow factor that's there, Dallas Turner may be at the top of the group as far as the high ceiling. You can throw Chop Robinson into that mix as well. But what suits the Bears? Jared Verse is the guy that to me most suits the Bears as a true defensive end.
That was a clinic you just put on because it was a needed distinction. You're right. I mean, yeah, Jared Verse would be most suited. Not that any of those guys could not adapt, obviously, to what the Bears are doing. And I love the Chop Robinson. Maybe Chop Robinson's the best of the bunch, but he is, at this point, he's the most raw of that group as well. But somebody's going to like him. There's no doubt about it. No doubt about that. And I am, like... The wide receivers and the defensive ends, it can go anywhere, it feels like, all of a sudden, in terms of people's opinions on Marvin Harrison Jr., on Roma Dunze, Malik Nabers. It's amazing, not to mention a couple of the other guys that we're not even talking about right now. But in my mock draft 2.0, which is out there somewhere, well, you could probably look on my Twitter account, at Mark Grody Sports. I sure wish I could tweet right now, but I can't. Please, Twitter, help me. My number one pick, I was talking to Anthony about my alternatives. Like, all right, I'll just go. I'm on Threads. I'm on Facebook. Threads, I'll find
Follow
a way.
On Threads. Well, does Threads work the same way? Is there like a Threads handle? What is your Threads handle? Does it work like that?
I don't know what my Threads handle is. But
before
if you're
the
really
end of the
interested,
show. Before the end of the show.
If you're really interested, you could probably Google
You might
find
end up
out.
In a situation on Thursday where you got to be threatened and you want folks to know where to find you on Threads.
Like, people think it's superficial that I'm worried about this Twitter thing. It is the way news is reported.
When we're looking to hear from Mark Grody on Thursday, aside from your Bears hits,
well, it's going to be old
school,
throughout
the day,
we
got to know where to find you, where to consume Mark Grody
on
Sports.
The radio. It's going to be 1990s Grody. That's what it is. Before, Twitter came around in what year? That 2007 or something like that. Like, Twitter is still very young, like relatively speaking.
Well, Mark, not to worry. You might have reached out to Twitter. You might. Have emailed them and
X
or whatever.
I'm telling myself that called. Right now, not you.
But I have tweeted free at Mark Grody Sports.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. So
thank you. Will you please retweet that?
Is it
anybody
trending
out there?
It's not trending at all.
Find Alex Kuhn.
All right.
Follow Alex
Hashtag
Kuhn.
Hashtag free Mark Grody.
Where Let's do see. They find
Let me
Alex Kuhn?
This.
At Alex Kuhn 523.
Oh, that's easy. All right. So retweet that. See, do what you have to do because we all need each other. Mm. I do have the Bears taking Caleb Williams with the number one overall pick. It's the move the Bears have had to make all along.
Boom.
While
Follow
building around Justin Fields would not have been negligent. Williams simply represents an undeniable temptation whose skills check all the boxes for an elite NFL quarterback. No comment needed from you there on that one, Big Ant. But I would like to hear, we'll do my top 10 here.
Okay.
The Washington Commanders, I have them going with quarterback Jaden Daniels out of LSU. He's just gained so much steam since the combine, and I just like his, upon further review, I just like his versatility and his ceiling better than Drake May.
Okay. All right.
How do you feel about that?
I like the maturity of his game.
Okay.
I'd say by comparison, even to Caleb Williams, I mentioned how I want the game of Caleb Williams to mature as he gets into the league, and all of their games will need to mature. But Jaden Daniels just played a lot of football, man. I mean, he started a bunch of games from his true freshman season on. I was calling the games of Jaden Daniels back when he was at Arizona State, his true freshman year. And Herm Edwards was telling me, because he was just so impressive even back then for a true freshman. Herm Edwards was telling me, like, calm down. He ain't the savior. Like, oh, I get it, coach. But, man, this true freshman has a good head on his shoulders, and he can spin the pill. And you fast forward to now. He started so many games, had so many reps, and it shows that there is more nuance to the way Jaden Daniels plays quarterback within the pocket than there is to the way Caleb Williams plays quarterback within the pocket. Now, Williams, a more talented overall prospect as a passer.
Right, right.
But just comparing one-to-one, Jaden Daniels is further along as a pocket passer than Williams is.
I agree. I agree, and well said again. Number three, I have the Patriots doing it, taking J.J. McCarthy. We talked about this backstage a little bit, and my answer to it was basically, you just know they will. It's just too perfect. Once I knew that they had visited – or he had visited the Patriots, I was like, okay, I'm doing it. I'm just doing the stereotype.
This is happening.
To Tom
this
Brady,
is happening.
The guy who didn't like was overlooked in college. Certainly J.J. McCarthy is not being overlooked by anybody, but the reason I think this is too high for him, even though I put it down, I don't know if I agree with this. I think that's what I believe is going to happen. But the fact of the matter is, I think that's too high for him. And I know everybody's saying, look, he was in a pro offense and it's the most transferable, but just, I'm sorry, the lack of volume from the passing game bothers me a person, a Bears fan, a Bears reporter, however you want to analyze the situation, that just leaves me feeling uneasy.
So even though he's a Chicago area kid, just grew up in this area, probably grew up listening to you the score for all these years.
Hey,
and here you are just, I mean, you know, you're essentially just saying that J.J. McCarthy is no good.
Don't ever bring humanity into sports talk radio. If we allow ourselves to do that, when I do that, those
JJ's
are the days.
JJ's family is probably listening to this show.
Those are the days
right
that
now.
I want to quit the business when I think about things like that you're putting into my head.
Olivet Nazareth, who were there cheering for J.J. McCarthy just a few seasons ago.
If we're going to do that,
now
then,
here they are.
If you're going to put
listening
me in
to
that
Mark
box,
Grody say that their guy, their kid, cannot play the game.
I now have to tell you this part now. Now I have to tell you the part of everybody that I've talked to about him.
He's just such a wonderful kid.
And says
he's
he is
such
the
a
greatest
great human.
Guy. Yes. I didn't want to have to say that. I didn't want to break
go
that
up and
out.
Hug him.
You put me in a place where I had to do that because you are saying that I am disparaging a local.
You're saying
and it
the
hurts.
Patriots are going to draft Jack the Ripper.
Oh, my
That's
God.
That's what the J and JJ stands for.
God.
Jack the Ripper McCarthy is going to get drafted by the New England Patriots.
Didn't you say something to
according
me
to at Mark Grody
you
Sports.
You can't do the rest of the show because you're going to lose your voice or something like that. Who else we got back there? Hey, Alex, you want to do the rest of the show with me, bro?
Now, I will say this, and I've said it on the Big Ten Network. I've said it on the Big Ten Radio Show over on Sirius. I love the skill set of J.J. McCarthy physically. Love what J.J. McCarthy brings to the table intangibly as well. And I do agree with what a lot of folks have said. Mark Slayer talked about it. We talked about it a bit with E.J. Snyder, but certainly being in what's traditionally thought of as a pro-style offense, he's been under center. He's had to evaluate the defense pre-snap, and he's done motions and all these different things and had the verbiage. All of that matters, but also the volume of passes in-game, in contested moments, under duress, that matters too.
Okay.
And so that's where, to me, a top five pick for J.J. McCarthy, it doesn't add up. I don't see him as that level of prospect, that value of prospect. No.
A local guy. You don't see that, huh?
Not at all.
Guy from the area?
No, not even close. I don't care if he's 11 years old or not. No, but I would love to see J.J. McCarthy drafted into a scenario where he had an opportunity to sit and watch learn and refine his game.
Oh, you mean like Tom Brady?
It worked out okay for that guy.
Yeah.
It's worked out pretty well for a number of other prospects. But I don't see J.J. as the ready-made day one guy. And when you get drafted in the top five, they're going to want you to start right away. That, to me, is not a great scenario for J.J. McCarthy to go into.
Okay. And he can – the McCarthy family can latch on to Hub Arkish. I think that would – because Hub has said, and I'm being serious, Hub has said that he thinks he is the best – he will have been the best quarterback in this draft class. To I don't want to misquote Hub.
Mm-hmm.
Hub has also said that he agrees that Caleb Williams is the best prospect like right now, but he thinks that J.J. McCarthy will be, in the end, the best quarterback of this class. So there is support in that direction for him.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on. God, I hope none of these other guys are from Chicago. Arizona Cardinals.
Apologies to the McCarthy family.
To the McCarthy family. Not on my watch. Well, hey, you know what? Let me be what motivates you to prove me wrong. And I'm also not saying he's not a first round pick. I'm just saying he's not the number three pick. Man. Arizona Cardinals wide receiver Marvin Harrison Jr. out of Ohio State.
Oh, it's well known that Marvin Harrison Jr. is from right down the road.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I don't know if you've heard.
He actually lives on the right underneath our studios.
He lives in Prudential Plaza.
Yeah, right over here. He suites right next to us. He is waiting for me. So, yeah, there's him at number four. Here's the one that I want to hear from you on as well. The Chargers I have at number five taking Joe Alt, the tackle out of Notre Dame. And I just think my thinking is it just suits Jim Harbaugh perfectly in terms of what he does and what he stands for, an offensive lineman that can be there for the next 7 to 8 to 9 years or whatever it is, seems very Jim Harbaugh to me.
I like that. I think that Joe Alt, amongst the offensive tackles in the draft, he's the cleanest prospect. He's the most day one ready prospect amongst the offensive tackles. I don't think he has the highest ceiling of any of them. I would say the highest ceiling goes to Olufashinu from Penn State because of the physical traits that's there. And a lot of Olufashinu's film is very good. Mm. He didn't play well against Michigan, so that's a bit of a detraction against him. One of the better defenses, maybe the best defense, you know, that or Ohio State. But as far as the variety of fronts and the speed and ferocious nature of Michigan's defense and facing that, Olufashinu didn't play well against Michigan. So that's kind of the big knock on him. But as far as a guy who can develop into a really high-level, high-ceiling player, Olufashinu is that guy. But Joe Alt, he can come in day one, be a starter, have a really lengthy career, maybe makes a couple of Pro Bowls, maybe turns. I don't see him as a guy who's going to turn into an all-time great, but it's got Pro Bowl potential. But I think quality starter, he's the one who I feel most confident will be that.
Okay. Draft coverage on The Score is presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. We need to take a quick break. When we come back, I will give you five, or make that 6 through 10 in my mock draft, and that will include what the Bears are doing at number 9. It's our draft preview special on The Score.
Let's get back to more of The Score's draft preview special with Mark Grody and Anthony Herron, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears, on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Sports Station.
Do we get to talk to Lawrence Holmes in about 10 minutes from right now? Lawrence is going to join us at 8 o'clock to talk about the Bears and the draft and some of his perspectives on the Bears and what they should do and everything. You listen to Lawrence every day. I know I do, on the Bernstein and Holmes show every day from 10 to 2 right here on The Score. Continuing on with my mock draft 2.0 at number 6. I had the Giants taking Drake May, and I don't believe that he has done anything wrong. I think that Jaden Daniels has bigger upside, and then as we've been talking about with J.J. McCarthy, I think that he's got GMs afraid not to pick him. You know what I mean? Like that.
Yeah, right.
It feels like it could all be smoke. Who knows? But it feels like there's this fear of what, as you laid out very well, about him, about J.J. McCarthy, this fear of, wait a minute, is this actually the guy? Is this the dude here? Because all the other guys have been talked about more in terms of franchise quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of upside with all the quarterbacks at the top of the draft here. You know, Drake May's name has kind of just gotten lost in the shuffle along the way there, some way, somehow, when for the majority of the last year plus, Drake May was viewed as the guy who was going to be their number two to Caleb Williams. And there's still some conjecture that could end up being, you know, how it works out there, because he is an impressive prospect, but you've had these other guys, these other names really rising into the mix here. I mean, if you didn't have a Caleb Williams in this cycle, there wouldn't be a lot of argument about Jaden Daniels as the number one quarterback coming off the board here. He put that type of season together. It wasn't on par with Joe Burrow, what Joe Burrow did his final season at LSU, but man, it was really good. I mean, he won the Heisman for a reason.
Yeah.
So he was exceptional this past year, both as a passer and a runner, and it was historic numbers that Jaden Daniels put up, and the control, the composure that he played with as a pocket passer was as impressive as anything. But, you know, like we were talking about a moment ago, whether it's J.J. McCarthy or Drake May or any of these guys, were kind of saying like, they don't quite view him in the same neighborhood with a couple of the names at the top, with Caleb or Jaden. But that doesn't mean J.J. isn't going to be good. It doesn't mean Drake May isn't going to be good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, I had a hard time thinking, man, I got Drake May at number 6. So it didn't necessarily sit well with me, but this is how my board lined up. The Titans I have at 7.
And he can improvise, by the way. Like, Drake May can improvise quite a bit. You look at his film. He can go outside the X's and O's. He can do things beyond the confines of how the play was designed. And so, you know, he's got a similar question in some ways to Caleb. Can he play consistently within structure? And that's where his accuracy tends to wane quite a bit, is when he's just got to hit that third step, hit that fifth step, get the ball out on time in rhythm, then he's inconsistent with his accuracy there.
At 7, I have the Titans taking left tackle Olufashinu. We've talked about him already tonight. Mm-hmm. My thing there is just keep doing your young quarterback favor. So I like Fashinu there. I like at number 8, I like the Atlanta Falcons to take Dallas Turner.
Okay.
Dallas Turner. The Falcons have all the cool pieces on offense.
Right.
Now go out there and get the quarterback. All right, let me get to number nine here, because that is the Bears. Here's, we're running out of time. I do have the Bears taking Rome Odunze, and you should listen closely to the blurb I wrote here, Anthony, because I think it's actually directed kind of at you.
Ooh.
The idea that the Bears have enough at the receiver position is football blasphemy. Until we could safely stop using words like Johnny and Morris in our wide receiver chats.
Both names, both Johnny and Morris.
That's right. Just keep loading up. Odunze gives you size, speed, route running, and he was one of the most engaging athletes I spoke to at the NFL Combine. So I do have Rome Odunze at number nine.
So
sir.
You love Rome Odunze as a person. You love Leo Tulatu as a person. It's only J.J. McCarthy you're really not that fond of as a person, is what I'm getting out of the first couple hours that we've spent together here.
I only like him as a person.
I mean, really? Yeah, I don't know if that's damning with faint praise or not, but I mean, you know. It's...
I've actually never met, I did not, I know it's going to be shocking to you, I was not able to talk to J.J. McCarthy at the combine. Maybe if I had talked to him.
You avoided him. You spoke to everyone but J.J. McCarthy.
Maybe if I had had the opportunity to talk to J.J. McCarthy.
Then you'd be sold on.
Oh, I would be like, Hub. I'd be like, Hub, you're right, man. He's such a good guy that he's going to be the best quarterback in this draft. We have to take a break. Coming up, we're going to bring in Lawrence Holmes. Also, after Lawrence, we are going to hear, I got to read this letter from my guy Holt, an 11-year-old who has his own
mock draft. His name is Holt. That is a very cool name.
Yes.
I can't wait to hear what Holt wrote to you. I also can't wait because the Scores Draft Preview Show is presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Lawrence Holmes is next on The Score.
Let's get back to more of the Scores Draft Preview Special with Mark Grody and Anthony Herron, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears, on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Sports Station.
Do we get to talk to Lawrence Holmes in about 10 minutes from right now? Lawrence is going to join us at 8 o'clock to talk about the Bears and the draft and some of his perspectives on the Bears and what they should do and everything. You listen to Lawrence every day. I know I do, on the Bernstein and Holmes Show every day from 10 to 2 right here on The Score. Continuing on with my mock draft 2.0 at number 6. I had the Giants taking Drake May, and I don't believe that he has done anything wrong. I think that Jaden Daniels has bigger upside, and then as we've been talking about with J.J. McCarthy, I think that he's got GMs afraid not to pick him. You know what I mean? Like that.
Yeah, right.
It feels like it could all be smoke. Who knows? But it feels like there's this fear of what, as you laid out very well about him, about J.J. McCarthy. This fear of, wait a minute, is this actually the guy? Is this the dude here? Because all the other guys have been talked about more in terms of franchise quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of upside with all the quarterbacks at the top of the draft here. You know, Drake May's name has kind of just gotten lost in the shuffle along the way there, some way, somehow, when for the majority of the last year plus, Drake May was viewed as the guy who was going to be their number two to Caleb Williams. And there's still some conjecture that could end up being, you know, how it works out there, because he is an impressive prospect, but you've had these other guys, these other names really rising into the mix here. I mean, if you didn't have a Caleb Williams in this cycle, there wouldn't be a lot of argument about Jaden Daniels as the number one quarterback coming off the board here. He put that type of season together. It wasn't on par with Joe Burrow, what Joe Burrow did his final season at LSU. But, man, it was really good. I mean, he won the Heisman for a reason.
Yeah.
So he was exceptional this past year, both as a passer and a runner. And it was historic numbers that Jaden Daniels put up. And the control, the composure that he played with as a pocket passer was as impressive as anything. But, you know, like we were talking about a moment ago, whether it's J.J. McCarthy or Drake May or any of these guys, were kind of saying like, they don't quite view him in the same neighborhood with a couple of the names at the top, with Caleb or Jaden. But that doesn't mean J.J. isn't going to be good. It doesn't mean Drake May isn't going to be good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, I had a hard time thinking, man, I got Drake May at number six. So it didn't necessarily sit well with me, but this is how my board lined up. The Titans I have at
seven.
And he
can improvise, by the way. Like, Drake May can improvise quite a bit. You look at his film. He can go outside the X's and O's. He can do things beyond the confines of how the play was designed. And so, you know, he's got a similar question in some ways to Caleb. Can he play consistently within structure? And that's where his accuracy tends to wane quite a bit, is when he's just got to hit that third step, hit that fifth step, get the ball out on time in rhythm, then he's inconsistent with his accuracy there.
At seven, I have the Titans taking left tackle Olu Fashanu. We've talked about him already tonight. Mm-hmm. My thing there is just keep doing your young quarterback favor. So I like Fashanu right there. I like at number eight, I like the Atlanta Falcons to take Dallas Turner.
Okay.
Dallas Turner. The Falcons have all the cool pieces on offense.
Right.
Now go out there and get the quarterback. All right, let me get to number nine here, because that is the Bears here, as we're running out of time. I do have the Bears taking Rome Odunze, and you should listen closely to the blurb I wrote here, Anthony, because I think it's actually directed kind of at you.
Ooh.
The idea that the Bears have enough at the receiver position is football blasphemy.
Mm.
Until we can safely stop using words like Johnny and Morris in our wide receiver chats.
Both names, both Johnny and Morris.
That's right. Just keep loading up. Odunze gives you size, speed, route running, and he was one of the most engaging athletes I spoke to at the NFL Combine. So I do have Rome Odunze at number nine.
So
sir,
you love Rome Odunze as a person. You love Leiatu Latu as a person. It's only J.J. McCarthy you're really not that fond of as a person, is what I'm getting out of the first couple hours that we've spent together here.
I only like him as a person.
I mean, really, yeah, I don't know if that's damning with faint praise or not, but I mean, you know. It's...
I've actually never met, I did not, I know it's going to be shocking to you, I was not able to talk to J.J. McCarthy at the combine. Maybe if I had talked to him.
You avoided him. You spoke to everyone but J.J. McCarthy.
Maybe if I had had the opportunity to talk to J.J. McCarthy.
Then you'd be sold on.
Oh, I would be like Hub. I'd be like, Hub, you're right, man. He's such a good guy that he's going to be the best quarterback in this draft. We have to take a break. Coming up, we're going to bring in Lawrence Holmes. Also, after Lawrence, we are going to hear, I got to read this letter from my guy Holt, an 11-year-old who has his own mock
draft. His name is Holt. That is a very cool name.
Yes, yes.
I can't wait to hear what Holt wrote to you. I also can't wait because the Scores Draft Preview Show is presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Lawrence Holmes is next on The Score.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.